Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Oh, my dear friends, welcome to Seek Reality. As you know, I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm delighted that you're with us today. Many of my Seek Reality friends know that, in my view, the most important expert in the whole field of seeking the truth about reality is Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Craig is almost certainly the most spiritually advanced being I have ever known who was in a body, and he is, without question, the most selfless person I have ever known. His whole life is devoted to helping you learn the truth by your own eternal nature, and with never the least thought for himself. And one of the things that has been most important to Craig has been finding ways that you can learn to communicate with your transitioned loved ones on your own. His method of teaching people to induce and experience their own afterlife communications is called self-guided afterlife connections. And I hear from people who do it. They say it has a very high rate of success, but you have to do the work. You have to basically teach yourself to do something new. If you're interested in doing it, go to afterlifeconnections.org/Craig, HTM, and then you can learn more about it. But because not many of us have kind of the moxie or the time or the determination to do the work of getting ready to communicate directly, he's also worked with therapists, too, who want to help people who are now deep in grief. And the most remarkable of these therapists is here with us for the third time. She hasn't been here with us, though, for, I think, 2 years. So we're so glad to have her back. Her name is Rochelle Wright, and she's a licensed mental health therapist and EMDR therapist. She's been a grief and trauma therapist for nearly 30 years. And she has developed what she calls the Repair and Reattachment Grief Therapy Method, which is new to me, although I know where it comes from. I'm anxious to find out more about what it is she's doing now. In 2011, Rochelle wrote a wonderful pioneering book with Craig Hogan that was called Guided Afterlife Connections. Then in 2015 came Repair and Reattachment Grief Therapy, again written with Craig Hogan, and it's a later edition of her 2011 book. Welcome, Rochelle. I am thrilled that you're here.
Well, thank you very much, Roberta. I'm really glad to be here and glad to be talking to you. And I just absolutely second everything you said about Dr. Craig Hogan. He really is the most spiritual entity in a human body.
Yeah.
I really believe that.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's not just me. Everybody I know in this field says the same thing. Try to find somebody no one will ever say anything negative about it and just go right to Craig and you've already found someone. It's amazing. But he has really supported your work. How did you get started with him?
Well, actually, he wrote to me in 2009 and he was asking different, I think therapists, have they got things unusual, whatever, like that. And I was at the time getting quite a bit of unusual things in my office. And so I didn't answer right away, but I finally answered him and told him, and he was very excited. And, I can't quite remember, but I did get something very unusual. And I called him, if you can believe it, on Christmas Eve morning. I would never do that to anybody. But
right.
I was so excited. And Craig answered the phone.
Of course he did.
Said,
he always does.
He was really excited. He said, okay, then we need to write a book right now. That's what he did.
Isn't it funny?
I mean, yeah, it started. So he was the writer, and I provided the content, and it was a very exciting time in, that was 2009, 2010.
Yeah, the book
it's been
contains,
a while ago.
Yes, but you say it contains 26 stories of real clients, and
yes.
Actually, it's a fascinating book. If you want to read a book that's enjoyable just for the stories, this is a great one. 26 stories of real clients and their experiences in Rochelle's office in early 2010. And that's really when there was a lot of work going on the part of people who are not in bodies, to work through Craig and a few others to bring the fact of human survival to the attention of all of us. That's not a coincidence that I started writing The Fun of Dying in 2009 and didn't know till much later. I didn't think I was going to write a book, and I did realize till later that actually I didn't write a book. It was all channeled. But this is something which began right at that time, and Rochelle was there right at the start of it with what I consider to be the leader of, and not chosen by us, not chosen by him, chosen by Spirit, the leader of this movement to enlighten the world. So that's exciting. What is repair and reattachment grief therapy, which I can't even say in one sentence. Repair and reattachment grief therapy. There it is. What is that?
Okay. Repair and reattachment grief therapy is something that licensed therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, social workers, marriage and family therapists do, and they have to be licensed in the state that they work in. And it's repair and reattachment. It's with grief. And so they come in and they're grieving about or wondering what happened to their deceased parent, their husband, their child. And so we sit with them. I sit with them for like 5.5 hours minimum. And in one day, we take care of it. I mean, that's hard to believe. But when they leave, it's very, very different than when they came in. Now, I do screen them well, so that is important. I screen people. But anyway, it's then the repair and reattachment. It used to be called Guided Afterlife Connections when Craig and I started. Well, what happened is about, I think now, time goes by so fast, it's about 3 years ago, I had this dream, and that's how a lot of this came to me, Roberta. I had dreams consistently of deceased people, and they were positive. They were all just made cameo appearances, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is exciting.
Wow. Yes.
Exciting. But it also, I went to work one day, because only when I could talk to my secretary, because it's hard to talk to people about this.
Absolutely.
They wonder what is wrong with her.
Right.
So I went in and I said, Barbara, I can't have this happening anymore. It's ruining my day job. I'm always dreaming every night of these deceased people. And then what happened is it stopped. So I said to Craig later about it, and he goes, well, Rochelle, isn't it interesting how they listen to you? And they,
yes.
And they did. But what they did is they came through the back door in my therapy. Because, see, I wasn't doing it then when I was having these dreams and everything. So they thought, okay, we can't do it that way, so we're going to come through the back door in her therapy. So that's what they did.
That's
they,
fascinating.
You know,
I hope everyone listen to what she's saying. She didn't choose to do this work. She was chosen by Spirit to do this work. Everybody I talk to who is genuinely doing work in this field, when they explain how they got started, it seems to be virtually always it was a call from Spirit, which you, I guess, couldn't ignore. I mean, you had Craig in one ear and the dead in the other. How could you ignore it?
No. Well, no, I couldn't. And it was so exciting. When I look back now, it was a whirl. It went so fast. And how did I do all that? I mean, it's just like,
yes,
amazing. Or how did we do all that?
Yes.
Well, obviously, it was Spirit-driven. But you had mentioned, you know, it used to be called Guided Afterlife Connections. And then what happened, Roberta, is I had a dream one night, and my mentor, who is a nurse, an RN, and a psychologist, she's since retired for several years, but she was a president for EMDRA International, which is EMDR, and she came to me in this dream, and I saw her walking toward me in the dream, and I thought, uh-oh, there's so-and-so. What,
yes,
does she think about what I'm doing? And I started actually backing up in the dream because I'm like, oh, my gosh, I wonder what she's going to say about this, you know, because it's out of the box, right? It's very
totally
different than therapists
right
do.
Right.
And she came and stood right in front of me, and she said, I said, do you know what I am doing? And she said, yes, and it's called repair and attachment grief therapy. And I looked at her, and I said, oh, it's called repair and reattachment grief therapy. And then that was it. That's the only time she came. And so I thought about it for a couple of weeks, and I told Craig, we have to change the name.
Okay.
And the reason is because it's more palatable, really, to the general public, which we want to have them know about this, and it's more palatable to therapists who want to be trained, because it's just more in a mode of a therapy name. Does that make sense to you?
Totally. It makes total sense. We all have this problem, Rochelle, because both of the big, let's say, gatekeepers in our society, both Christianity and what we think of as science, are adamantly against any communication with people we used to think were dead. Now, since they're all alive and just fine, and since the two key gatekeepers are basically stonewalling the truth, people like you and me who are trying nevertheless to bring truth to the world have a problem. But let's learn first more about what this is anyway. What is it how would you describe the process of repair and reattachment grief therapy, and why is it called that? What are we repairing? What are we reattaching?
Well, we're repairing, actually the sadness and the loss of the person on this side. And we're like, you know, repairing and then reattaching them in a healthy way so they can see, yes, that this person is not like they might even think they are, you know. They've been in a car crash. They're grieving over that. And when they see it, during the last part, it's the last part of the day I do that, the afternoon, the processing, they see that it wasn't really anything like they thought it was.
Oh.
And I just had someone this week, and it was amazing because it was a lot of trauma involved and a lot of, sadness. And she actually saw her mother laughing when she couldn't even think of her mother possibly laughing, you know, during because of what happened to her.
Yes.
And, her mother was on the other side. She was laughing, and her uncle, who she dearly loved, he came across and came and called her this pet name. So... it does repair. It repairs how they're feeling on this side. They're feeling, thinking about it. They're feeling sad. They're grieving. They're, you know, or it could be somebody, Roberta, that just wants to know what happened to this person. You know, what happened?
Right.
And then they do, and 98% of the ones that I do, the sessions I do, they do connect with the deceased loved one, and they get lots of messages from them, and it's very healing and heartwarming for them. You know, they never expected it. So the thing is, it's very different, Roberta, what I do than mediums, because it's the exact opposite. It's like mediums, you know, will tell someone what they're getting, and of course, you know, that's very helpful. But I don't know what my client is getting.
Right.
They tell me what they're getting, and I write it down. So it actually comes to them. And one client, Gary, he said, they come as energy, and they come like as a thought. He said, he experienced, actually Gary was the one, he was a therapist for like 40 years, and wow. I worked with him. And he said, I always have thoughts, lots of thoughts, all the time I'm always thinking. But this is so different. It's transmitted in an energy form through thought, unlike any of my regular thoughts. Now, some people see them too. I mean, or they can feel them. They feel them on the right side of them, the left side. They feel them in the room. There's all different ways they do experience it. But that's what he said. And they do seem to be coming in an energy form, Roberta. It's some form of energy.
But I have talked to people. It's been a while now. But I have talked to people who have been through this process with you, and some of them talked about having real experiences. I remember one woman, she was on a beach, and she got a hug, and her I think it was her daughter, was right there. Yes, so some of them do get into it to that extent, right?
Absolutely. And she was touching her daughter's hair. Her daughter came walking toward her. Her daughter had been killed in an auto accident and died instantly, and her mom wasn't there when it happened. And she just felt terrible that she wasn't there. Her daughter was like 18 or 19, and she came to her in the processing part, and she let her mother touched her hair, stroked her hair, put her arm around her, hugged her, and then her daughter took her down this path that was it had rock on each side of it, and then it was like a cobblestone path, beautiful flowers and things. So they can see, it just depends on, but at the minimum, their sadness is greatly reduced, and they do feel very different, because when you're carrying trauma around in the body, it is in our body.
Yes.
And when we do this work, it releases it out of their body. So when they finish, they say, oh, I feel lighter. I feel better.
It's extraordinary. That woman was the most memorable one I talked to. This was, I think, a couple of years ago when you had several people there at the conference. But everybody had some experience. And for many of them, it was physical, but not to that extent. I mean, she had a whole saga to tell. But what percentage feel that they had some real sort of physical feeling about what was happening? And what percentage, it's just energy, but they're still sure it's their loved one?
Oh, well, 98% when I drew it.
98% have had the experience, but do you know what percentage, or do you have any sense? Is it rare?
No, I'm saying that during the ones that I do, Roberta, they do experience at 98%.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yes.
In whatever way that spirit wants to connect with them, they do experience it, and they know they have had that connection.
Yes, they do, because they call them by a name that no one else knew. All sorts of different things. Like, I have some things that I wanted to tell you. They show hospital scenes and other scenes, and they show, like they were in pain, which we on this side think, they're in so much pain. They show that they weren't. They show how they left their body, and they're looking down on what's happened. That's a lot of time when they've been in the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And, and they show up younger, in their prime, they're healthy. And their animals come sometimes.
Yes.
There was a three-legged dog when he died. He was running on the beach in the session. He had four legs, and he was with six other dogs running on the beach.
Of course, because anyone who is thinking about animals dying, just know every animal you have loved is there, whole now and healthy. And that's another excellent example of how we know that to be true. But it is true. It's wonderful. So everybody I talked to had the same tale to tell. They didn't talk about what had happened in it so much as they knew they had had an immediate, intense connection with someone that they loved that was not in a body. They knew that person was fine. Everything was good between them. If there had been issues in the past, one woman had some kind of issue with her husband, and I don't remember I remember very little about it, except that she said, "We're tight now. We're okay now." And
yes.
they would say things like, I would say, well, how can you give us a scale 1 to 10? How much grief have you had? Were you experiencing? And they would say 11. They were just in an uncontrollable grief. But then afterwards, well, you know, it depends on the day. It's a 1 or a 2. I mean, I still, you know, mm-hmm. love him or her and miss him or her, but I know that they're fine, and I know that if I need to have a connection, I can, and that's all I need in this lifetime. And to me, that is so. What I hear from people every day who are in grief. And to know that there's a way to address it is just extraordinary. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. And like I said prior, that I do screen people. You know, I screen them for previous trauma because sometimes that will come up because the brain wants to clear that before it can go to where it needs to go, or spirit wants to clear it. And so I do screen them. But they come they're here for 5.5 hours, and it takes that long. But it's very different by the time they leave. You know, it's very uplifting for me to do the work.
I'm sure it is. Wow.
Say what you love, what you do. It's not like work, and that's the way it is for me because I truly love it. I think that you, just a little bit earlier in the show, you were talking about Carol, who her daughter, she was able to stroke her hair and hug her and so forth. Well, I do have this sound. She also saw that she rose up from the crash and left her body, and she was sitting on the hood of the car smiling and showing her mother. And showing her mother, I left my body. I didn't have pain. And she was dressed in this flowing white dress, but her feet weren't showing. It's so funny. Like, she didn't have feet, you know, like she was floating. And she said, Mom, I'm okay. And so it's not like we imagine. That's what's interesting.
Yes. Please know that if you have a loved one who died in a car crash or in something else that was very traumatic, they're out of their bodies before it happens. Many of you know who Mikey Morgan is, and in his book, Flying High in Spirit, he talks about his death. He says, suddenly he was above the car looking down as it crashed, and there was his body, and everybody else was fine. It's just that, of course, he died in the crash. It was a planned death, but he wasn't even in his body when it happened, and we have heard from many other people over the years who were speaking through mediums or in some other way to their their living loved ones, who said that, you know, don't worry, I wasn't even in my body. One guy talked about how amazing it was. He'd gone right through the roof, and it was a solid roof. At least Mikey talked about it. There was an open sunroof. Nope, he went right through the roof. What happens is if it's going to be an event that ends our lives, we don't stay in the body to experience that death. And there's this lovely young woman smiling, sitting on the hood of the car. And a couple of things that the mother said that were strange to her. One was that she didn't seem to have feet. One of the things that people who see apparitions of their dead loved ones tell us over and over again is, sometimes they see it only down as far as the chest. It looks like a bust. Sometimes they see most of the body. Very seldom do they see feet. We don't know why that's true. Maybe because there's no need for feet, so why bother to show feet? I don't know why. But that's another sign that what this woman experienced with her daughter is universal. This is what happens. And she was wearing white. Well, in the afterlife, they call these garments spirit robes. When you leave your body, it's not clothed. You sort of come into the afterlife the same way you came into the body, this life, with a body that is just not clothed. But our minds almost immediately clothe us. And sometimes they clothe us in clothing that we are familiar with from this life. But in her case, those were spirit robes that she was wearing. They're generally white, or they're a pale pastel. And so that, hearing that, makes me even more certain, although I was before, that these are real communications, because Rochelle didn't know anything about that, neither did the mother. Only people who do a lot of study understand these details. So well done, Rochelle. That was really, really fun to talk about.
Well, yes, and I would like to reiterate with you that a lot of times on the other side, people are dressed in white. They might have, one had a white karate suit on, one was just in beautiful white robes, white
yes.
dresses, a white T-shirt. It's kind of amazing to me that, I mean, I've made special note of it, that there are so many in white. Well, of course,
yes.
not all of them or not the majority, but there's enough to really make note that they are dressed in white.
I think that would be because we clothe ourselves. We decide what to wear. And people there are naturally attuned to spirit and naturally aspiring to grow ever more spiritually. Whatever craving you have in your life, I don't care what it's for, take all of those cravings, wrap them up together, you know, sex, chocolate, and rock and roll. Wrap it all up and imagine it multiplied by 1,000. That's how much when you are in the afterlife, and I'm speaking to everybody now, that's how much you're going to crave spiritual growth. You don't know it here, but believe me, you'll know it there. And so one sign of that is that we tend to wear light colors or white. Some people figure they're not ready to wear white, so they wear a pastel. But that's why the spirit robes are colored as they do. Good points, dear. That's wonderful. Now, you told me during the break there was something you wanted to make sure that you got to mention, that something that had happened fairly recently, I guess.
Yes, it happened about a month ago, and I got an email from someone back east, and she said while I was having a reading, and she was having a reading with, I would say, one of the top mediums.
Yes.
I would say
it's okay. You could say who it was.
Yeah, Suzanne Giesman.
Yes.
And she said, when I was having a reading with her, I was referred from the other side to you. And I'm like,
I love it.
I'm like, what? You know, so I said, well, call me and we'll talk about it. You know, and so I asked her, well, she did come out last week and saw me. And I did ask her about it. I said, how did that go? And she said, well, we were in the middle of the reading, and what came across was Suzanne said to her, you need to see, I believe she said, you need to see Rochelle in Washington State or something like that. I'm
yes.
not sure exactly, but enough that, you know, Suzanne knew what came across. And then later in the reading, they came across again to see Rochelle.
Oh,
and so
wow.
By that time, Suzanne said, look, I'm going to look it all up for you. I'm going to give you her email, her phone number, and how to contact her,
yeah,
which was wonderful. And I appreciate Suzanne for doing that. And so that's how, you know, the other side connected her with me. And I had it happen in about 2011. There was a therapist from Texas, and this was when I was first doing it, and she called me at 5:30 a.m. my time and woke me up. And
oh, dear,
in the morning,
yes. Yeah, two hours difference, yes.
And she was all excited that she had this reading, and it was having a reading with her nephew who passed, and he said, in this reading, he told her, you need to be trained by the person who does those eye movements. And he didn't give her a name. He said something like, maybe Washington State. And she was just like, well, how am I going to find somebody like that? He
right.
said, you know, those eye things. But she did. She went on the Internet, and somehow she found me and was so excited. She could hardly contain herself and called me at 5:30 in the morning.
Right. Yes. 7:30 in Texas, so it wasn't due too early in Texas.
No, and then I got it. She was so excited. It was hard to decipher what she was saying.
Oh, uh-huh.
And but she wanted the training, so she came and she got the training. So it's very interesting, Roberta, in those two cases, the other side referred those people to me in a reading.
And I just want to emphasize the fact that here is Rochelle being a servant. These people are all desperate the people who are no longer in bodies, almost to a person that we have heard from lately. They're desperate to have us understand the truth. And so many people now are beginning to tell their loved ones to find someone who can help them really come to understand the truth that human life is eternal, death is an illusion, all of that. So I'm not surprised, but I'm delighted. And let's talk a little about the fact that you do train other therapists. Can you just tell us a little about how that's gone and how many you've trained and how long it takes and so on?
Well, it's a two-day training, and they get 12 continuing educations for it. And I've been training since, I believe, 2011, and probably train well over 100 therapists in the United States. There's almost a therapist trained in every state in the United States. And there's several back east, in, you know, all over, really. And then also in Mexico and South America, and there's one in the UK. And so, you know, people can go to someone closer. They used to come out here, fly out to Washington, but
yes,
they do it less because there are people closer to them.
So how would we find someone like that if we wanted to have this kind of experience with our loved ones that we used to think were dead? Is it on your website?
It's on my website under Trained Therapist, yes.
And your website, what is your website?
It's RochelleWright.com.
Okay, that's pretty easy. And that's, of course, RochelleWright.com. How could it be easier?
Right.
Okay, well, that's – and are you're still doing this now, right? So if a therapist is listening? Okay.
Yes.
Is it something fairly easy for them to learn? I mean, do you find that they're pretty well doing it independently after that time, the 2 days?
Well, they can, yes. And the interesting part is – they all connect the second day, and they are like, oh, and they've learned so.
Really?
And some of them have learned so much about themselves. They're like, I mean, they'll say, I had lots of therapy before, and I've never known this. I've never found out this stuff. And it's amazing. So that they all connect the second day because they practice. In the morning, they're the client, and then in the afternoon, they're the therapist. And then we talk about it or debrief at the end, and it's amazing. And they're very excited when they leave. Now, the therapists that come for training, they have more of a spiritual bent. They're more open to things, and they've even had things happen in their office, and they don't know what to do with it. So when they find out that there's a training for it, they're really happy about that.
Yeah, that's great. So basically, they've all been probably called by their own guides to find a way to do this deeper connection. That's probably why, as you think of them as spiritual, they're in touch with their guides. I guess we should emphasize here the fact that we all have spirit guides. Every single person listening probably has more than one, and they're trying to get through to us. They generally talk to us at night and try to get us to remember in the daytime what that guidance was. But wake up in the morning. I mean, ask the questions at night, wake up in the morning, look at what's in your mind. And if you keep doing that, you'll start to get your own guidance. Rochelle Wright is based way out on the other end of the world in Washington State. But people go to her there. I mean, if you are desperate enough, it's not a big deal to fly to Washington State or to go to RochelleWright.com and look at what might be closer to you, because she has trained people. And I actually experimentally had a therapy with someone that Rochelle had trained right in Austin. And what we found was, since I wasn't in grief, I did have a connection, but it was a minimal one. It was sort of like, what the heck are you doing here? So I can tell you it works, but if you're not in grief, your loved ones say, you don't need this, which I thought was kind of fun. But Rochelle, what else do you want people to know about what it is that you do?
Well, I think I'll just kind of comment on what you said. You know, they don't have to be in deep grief, because when I was first started doing this, I did it with a few therapists, of course. That's the way we start, you know. And I remember Gary, we were going to do the video of him, and he said, I'll do it, but I don't know who I'm going to do. I have no idea. And so he showed up on Saturday morning, and he said, interesting enough, I had a dream that I have never had for 48 years about my grandfather. So
oh.
I think that's who I'm supposed to do.
So oh.
He said, but we don't have any angst or anything, but I'll do him. So he had passed 48 years before that. Well, we did that. And you would be surprised. I mean, we're shocking all the things that Gary got. And it explained his family and the dynamics in his family and why things happened the way they did. It was really, really amazing. And so
okay, well,
he
that's
didn't
good.
Have any grief.
Yeah, it's that's good. It's good that it just, in my case, it was my mother-in-law, and basically her attitude was, you don't need to be here. You know, everything's fine. That's the trouble with knowing what's going on. The dead are impatient with you sometimes. But what? So even if you just want to experience what's
right.
going on and understand, maybe connect with someone in your more distant past for whom the grief has healed, it still works, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, it did. It did. Yes, it did. So I wanted to kind of explain to you to when the processing start, which is in the second part of the day after we have lunch, what happens is when they start coming, the other side starts to connect, what they begin to see are like colors, and they can be vivid colors. They begin to see shadows or clouds or various shapes. They'll see a light. They'll see a bright light. They'll see a tunnel. And several of them have gotten an eye, which is, I find, quite interesting. They say, I see this eye, this shape of an eye.
Oh, my. And, wow.
Yes. And it's actually, it's much slower to develop. You know, we're always this fast society running so fast to and fro here on this side, and they just develop at a much slower pace. But I tell them, I say, well, this is the way it develops, so just, you know, just what are you getting? And they develop. That's how it develops.
So it starts with an eye, and then the connection comes after that?
Yeah, different. Then they start getting different things, and then the eye may be the eye of the person that they're targeting.
Oh, how interesting! Wow.
Yeah, I mean, but that happens a few times. It's happened a few times, and then I think we did talk about this already, but how they're wearing white many times.
Yes.
But you know, like the T-shirt, the white karate, the long robe, the white dress, the blouse, the skirt, and the other thing they do is interesting, is that they, like a grandmother, will speak in their native tongue, like Danish or German or some, you know, and then the client will interpret it for me so I can write it down.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it comes, they'll speak in their foreign language.
So I just want to emphasize this. You say that 98% of the people, I better come probably to Washington and try it with you. 98% of the people do get a positive connection with someone they've left. They feel they've lost.
Yes, and they don't get, this is coming definitely from a higher realm, because there never is any negative to it. It's always positive. Now, I'm saying that that's when I work with them. You know, when I train client therapists, they do lots of other work. So if they put it in their toolkit and intend to use it, but they don't start using it, you know, sometimes they'll call me and they'll say, oh, I have somebody, you know, and I'll walk them through it again. But I think they're getting a pretty good, rate too. But I can just speak for myself. That's what I'm getting, about 98%.
One of the problems, one of the problems that I've talked about is the fact that neither religions nor science will pay any attention to this wonderful information. So what's important is that we reach out on our own and we learn the truth on our own, and this is one powerful way to do it. Rochelle, it has been thrilling to have you with us. I'm so glad you were here. Please consider yourself to be hugged. And everybody, RochelleWright.com. And we'll I think we're going to have Rochelle back in about 6 months. We try not to do it more often than 6 months, except with Craig. But we'll have Rochelle back because she has so much more to tell us. We've really only scratched the surface. So big hug, dear, and we'll be in touch soon telling you when we can do this next.
Thank you, and thank you so much, Roberta, for having me on. I really appreciate it, so that we can get this word out, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you, dear. And everyone, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. I'm glad you could be with us today. And sorry I had a coughing fit right in the middle of that, but that's all right. You know, we're doing all of this sort of live. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began and you never will end. And when you fully grasp what that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest will be Judy Morgan. She's going to be here for the second time, but the last time was, I think, 2 years ago. Judy is a certified and accredited veterinary, get this, acupuncturist, chiropractor, and food therapist. She's written a book called Yin and Yang Nutrition for Dogs, Maximizing Health Using Whole Foods, Not Drugs, and it's a bestseller now on Amazon. My dear friends, I don't have to tell you that our annual animal companions are central to our lives for many of us. A couple of years ago, I wrote a blog post on what happens when a pet dies. And here's just a hint, it's all good news. Google picked up that blog post, and now I get emails from people daily and sometimes more than once a day. And the post on my website has hundreds of comments from people who are in grief over a dog. Frankly, I have a friend who calls puppies pain in a fur wrapper, and that's really what they are. I mean, we know dogs don't live long. But if you love your dogs, then one thing that you can do is to make sure they live very healthy lives. You can add time to your dog's life with you, and Judy Morgan next week will help us make that happen. This week, our guest has been Rochelle Wright. Rochelle is a friend and protege of our wonderful friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. She's a therapist who has pioneered an extraordinary technique for enabling people to have connections with their loved ones that can heal grief unbelievably. So, and the reason this is so different from a medium is that a medium is nowadays is reading the mind of your dead loved one. This is your dead loved one coming into your mind, talking to you directly. And that it makes all the difference in the world. You can hear those words. I have a whole list of things people have said in to their loved ones here. But of course, we'll have to read that next time Rochelle is on. This thinning of the veil between worlds isn't just the wonderful work of selfless people like Rochelle Wright and Craig Hogan. This is something that is happening worldwide and in so many different ways. Those that we used to think were dead are doing everything they can now with the help of willing people like Rochelle, Craig, and I hope me too, to break through and prove to everyone on earth that human minds really are eternal. This is a fact, a central core fact of your life. It is impossible for you ever to lose awareness. It is impossible for your mind ever to die. That's what this is all about, helping you know that, because that's the beginning of your understanding the truth about everything. As you know, I have a number of nonfiction books out, and we're about to put out another one, which I'm working on now, and it will be out before the end of this year. All of my books are available, of course, on Amazon, and you can order them through bookstores. And the ones, except for the children's books, they're all available also as audiobooks. If you ever want to contact me or talk about my books, talk about anything, tell me you think I'm full of whatever you want to say to me, I'm delighted to hear it. Just contact me through the contact block on robertagrimes.com. I answer every email provided people have given me their correct email address. So please just double check the address, because there have been times I've written these big, long answers and then it said, of course, address not found. So don't do that to both of us. If you take the time to write, I promise it may take me a week, but I will read and answer every email. And of course, this has been Roberta Grimes on Seek Reality. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.